Hello, and welcome to a new edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm your host, Paul Roberts, editor here at Security Ledger. Today, we're going to be talking about IPv6 security, that's Internet Protocol version 6. You may not be aware of it, but the internet is quickly running out of addresses, the numerical sequences that identify all kinds of devices connected to the internet. The original 4.3 billion IP addresses that were created in the early 1980s have just about been exhausted. Europe and Asia are already out of them. North America isn't far behind. What's to be done? IPv6 will create an almost limitless number of new IP addresses for a whole range of devices. With us today to talk about the security implications of this change, however, is Wolfgang Kandek, the CTO at Qualys, Inc. As Wolfgang points out in this interview, the security implications of IPv6 are not yet known. Many of the tools and strategies we've developed to monitor security online won't work well in IPv6.
The new operating systems all come with IPv6 enabled by default. So on Windows 7, Vista, the newer Macintosh operating systems, Linux, out of the box, this is enabled. And it's possible that you have IPv6 running inside of your network and you don't even know about it. I would expect that most machines have IPv6 on. They might not have a routable address, so they might not be using the IPv6 internet, but malware or other programs could certainly use this IPv6 capability and basically fly under the radar of normal network management and also of normal security management.
Right, and I know that there have been instances of, for example, botnet command and control infrastructure that uses IPv6 in essence to tunnel out of organizations that they've compromised, right? Because the firewall is not going to be necessarily looking for IPv6 traffic.
Exactly. So it's definitely something that attackers can use. Since the network was not designed with that in mind, it's quite possible that you can, bypass firewalls, IPS systems, and so on that provide some kind of protection against normal IPv4 attacks and use that. Same thing is true for network intelligence. So these lists of IP addresses that are malicious, they don't contain IPv6 addresses at this point in time. So it's probably fair to say that the IPv6 internet is much less monitored than the IPv4 internet.
Now, Qualys obviously does vulnerability scanning. Is IPv6 enabled devices or misconfigured IPv6? Are these things that you look for, your organization looks for as part of your standard security scan?
So we support IPv6 scanning. You can scan a machine through IPv4 or IPv6 or both and report on open ports and services on both systems. So if you have IPv6, we can scan for that. What we are currently doing is we're trying to help our IPv4-based customers to figure out whether they have IPv6 configured and whether it's consciously done so or whether it's just by default. Kind of what we think is, I think technically it's great to use IPv6. This is the wave of the future. But I believe you should move to it when you are ready and when you're aware of all the challenges that come with IPv6. So what we're looking for in our tool is to give you exactly that, give you a map of where do you have IPv6 on and are you actually aware of that, and maybe you should actually turn it off on a certain set of machines where it's not needed.
What if you're an organization that is saying, I don't want to make this transition at all. I want to just take a pass on IPv6. I'm happy with my IPv4 network and equipment. And so can I just not do this?
And wait for IPv8 before you do the jump?
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't think that will be possible, but I do think you can do this for the next couple of years if you're just a normal user of the internet for email and web browsing and services. If you're not a service provider, you can probably do that. If you're a service provider, you probably have to offer IPv6 pretty soon just to stay modern. But I think it's not a bad strategy to say, I'm not going to do this right now. And honestly, even from a code maturity point of view, it might not be a bad idea. So the IPv6 code is much less exercised and debugged than the IPv4 code. Last year, the IPv6 turn-on day, and I believe Netflix, who participated in that and massively rolled out IPv6, they found a bunch of bugs in their operating system kernels regarding to IPv6 that only came out after some volume was actually pumped through those network stacks. The discussion in the field is on both sides. Are we better off with, or not so good, not so well off with IPv6? But I think we have much less code maturity there than on the IPv4 side.
I mean, just looking at it, there is a lot to recommend IPv6 over IPv4. There are some really important security features built in to prevent man-in-the-middle attacks, to prevent ARP poisoning, and some of the things that we've all kind of made our peace with in the IPv4 world. Those, in theory, will go away when this is adopted universally, right?
Oh, yeah. Some of the well-known IPv4 types are covered. But there's a whole slew, I think, of new attacks that are coming out. After all, IPv6 is offering more networking, so there's more protocols, and most of them have their own problems, similar security problems that they had in IPv4, and most of them don't have a solution right now.
If you're a Qualys and your business has grown up around assessing the security of IPv4-based networks, what does the IPv6 world look like to you? I mean, this whole notion of internet identity, you know, based on the IP address looks very different in IPv6, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think our customer's major challenge is finding or enumerating all the machines. So once you have a machine, scanning it through IPv6 is fine. It's just normal, I would say. But enumerating the machines can be much harder. The address space is much bigger. So you cannot just start with address number one and then count up until you've found you've looked through your entire address space and found all machines, because it's just too big. It would take many thousands of years to do this. This is not practical simply to say, I'm going to look through my entire address range. So that means that you have to get these addresses from some other place. That could be your DHCP server. It could be your outgoing gateway. It could be some kind of ACID system that you have, maybe when systems first get on the network that they check in with, you know, one of those NAC-type systems. It's not quite clear yet, I believe, at this point in time, where you will get these addresses from. And we have some of our bigger customers that are implementing IPv6 right now. They are working on this. And there's also no tools out there that do this. They're basically pulling this information together from multiple log files, and then they use us to scan those machines.
It's interesting. There is this kind of adoption curve problem that we're in, right? Where the tools aren't there because the adoption isn't there, but the adoption isn't there because the tools aren't there and everything's manual and hard. And you know, there's nothing at this point anyway forcing people to make the transition. The scarcity problem hasn't become severe enough.
Exactly. I think you're totally right, at least on the enterprise side. I think on the end user, so at home side, there it might change, because ISPs want to grow there. They want to cover more houses and more installations, and that's really difficult with IPv4. So when you talk to the bigger providers, they very clearly say we're going IPv6, because that's the only way how we're going to be able to put another 80 million devices into households. I'm thinking like set-top boxes and those things that are getting more and more connected to the internet now. So they're the only way is actually IPv6. So you might not be able to escape it anyway, at least from a personal level.
Wolfgang, this has been great. So thank you once again.
Excellent. Great for having me. Thank you.